And we're holding in the Ein Yaakov, Daf Yud Tes, and the regular Gemara Brachos. And in the standard Ein Yaakovs, that would be page 98, Mem Tet Amud Bet. And we had been discussing whether the deceased know what's going on in this world. And we said they do know what's going on in this world. And then we quoted Rav Yitzchak, who said that if people speak about the shame of the deceased, they say something bad about him, so then it's as though they were talking about a rot, either that the deceased don't even know what people say about them, or they know and they couldn't care less. And then we asked that there was a person who once said something about Mar Shmuel after his passing, and a bean fell down and bashed his skull. So the Gemara said, yeah, that's not because Mar Shmuel cared, it's because Hashem demands the honor of a young, sharp rabbi. And that's where we left off. Now we're up to page Nun, the top of the page, the letter Ayin in the Ein Yaakov, and Daf Yud Tes in Brachos. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught us the following. Kol amsaper achar mitatan shetalmidei chachamim, whoever speaks after the bed of the rabbis, and that's talking about after their the bed with which they're led to burial, nofel b'geinom, that person falls into perdition. Shneimar, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, v'amatim akalkalotam yolechem Hashem et poalei haven shalom al Yisrael. Afilu b'shah she'shalom al Yisrael, even at a time where the rest of the Jewish people have peace, yolichem Hashem et poalei haven, God will lead those people who speak badly about the bed of the rabbis, God will lead them to perdition. When everyone else has it good, they're still not going to have it good. So, yeah.
As a halacha?
Is it a halacha? I don't know if it's a halacha. I don't know if it's a halacha. We're talking about a... The question is, over here, is he saying it's an aveira? What's the logic behind this? One shot is that he's deriding a person. It's lashon hara. Another pshat is that's why it says Talmud Chacham, because even though what he's saying is true, but we assume that by the time he died, he did tshuva. So tshuva, together with a person's passing, atones for sins. So what's he doing speaking badly about him? So those are possible understandings as to why over here Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says it's a sin to speak badly about them. What were you saying, Dani? Top of the daf, Yud Tes Amud Aleph. It should be like 6 lines from the top. Could you pass me Gemara? No, Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Yeah, sorry. It should be Amud Aleph towards the top. You see the Pasuk? You can find it based on the Pasuk. V'amatim akal kolotam. Okay. Tanet Ber v'Yishmael. So now, that's why this seems to go in line with the understanding that they did tshuva, because we have a Tanakh quote from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael. Im ra'ita talmid chacham she'avar avera balayla. If you saw a talmid chacham who sinned at night, al tarer acharav bayom. Don't think badly about him by day. Shema asa tshuva. Maybe he did tshuva by day. Shema sal kadai tach. Maybe he did tshuva. No, rather, certainly he did tshuva. If he's a Talmud Chacham, so everyone has their ups and everyone has their downs. But being that he is a Talmud Chacham, so you could rest assured that by the time daytime came, he did tshuva. That's only when it comes to things that are relevant to him himself. But things that have to do with monetary issues. He owes someone money, and you know he owes him money, and he's not paying up. So even though he's a Talmud Chacham, you don't have to assume he did tshuva ad mehadar lemarei, till he actually pays back the money. On monetary issues, you don't have to assume anything. If it's something that's between him and himself, if you saw him doing something improper, so by morning you can assume he did right. Now, we can add over here a practical warning that When you see a Talmid Chacham and you think he did something wrong, maybe he did something right. First you have to know that what he did was wrong. It's not so clear that every time we think something is wrong, it's really wrong. So that's like a point the Gemara doesn't bother making. That's understood. You have to first verify that what he did was wrong. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught us another halacha. B'chafdal mekomot betin ayum nadinu kvod harav v'kulan shaninu b'mishnateinu. There are 24 places that the Beis Din made a nidui in honor of the master, because the person did not have enough respect for the rabbi, and all of them are enumerated in our Mishnah. So, you see, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, these quotes are going in line with the same concept. To have respect for the rabbis. So, the first one was, even after they pass away, not to speak badly about things that they did in their lifetime. And the second thing he says is, we'll have 24 examples where the rabbis made a nidui. A nidui is halachic ostracization. And the rabbis have the power to enact it. And basically, Chazal tell us that when someone is placed in nidui, the courts are basically cursing him that he should drop dead. It'll cause him to be impoverished and might actually cause him to drop dead. We assume that when he dies, the reason he died was because of the curse. It might take a year, it might take 2 years, but it might also take a day. Bottom line, we assume the reason is because the courts placed this curse on him.
We bury him,
but we place a stone on top of his coffin to indicate that he's like a person who died in rebellion against the court. Technically, we would stone him. We don't stone him. We didn't really stone him when he was alive, but that's a sign that this guy maintained his rebellion to the end. So we place a stone on him. Let's see. I think. So it depends. There can be even instances where we won't sit Shiva, but the relatives celebrate. They make a Kiddush. Because there can be instances where we say, Vaveh Hashem Yichlu. If a person has been. Take a person who was. He decided that he is going to give over information about his fellow man to the Nazis. So he is always going in there and making an extra buck by telling on other people. When he dies, so his relatives have to make a celebration. You don't mourn a person like that. There can be instances where a person is so sinful that we say he's reached a point where we don't mourn his death. We say, good thing he died, good riddance. But again, he has to have crossed a certain red line. I mean, and that has to be ruled upon. What? Technically, we don't discuss halachos of at all, and certainly not about killing him. I'm always scared these things can be quoted and taken out of context. Whenever a person has a shayla, he'll ask. Amale Rabbi Elazar, Heicha. So Rabbi Elazar asked Rabbi Shua ben Levi, where are these 24 places? Amale lechit ishkach, when you find it. So nafak. So he went out of the vis. Lechit ishkach, when you find it, you look. No. Lechi is when? Tishkach, you'll find. Nafak, he went out, dak, he looked and he analyzed, he reviewed the Mishnayot, vashkach tlata, and he came up with 3. So he's missing 21. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said 24, he looked, he came up with 3. This is an interesting answer, he tells him. Lechit ishkach, when you find it. I once was learning a Mishnah, and Rav David Feinstein walked by, and I was stuck. After 5-10 minutes, I couldn't figure out a point in the Mishnah. So I asked him. So he looked at the Mishnah, and he said, well, you could say like this. So he's a very modest person. Whenever he says things, he always says, you could say. He doesn't tell you what's behind what he says. So I felt like what he said was a shocking chiddush in the chat there. So I was new to the yeshiva. I said, where does it say that? So he said to me, when you get there, when you get there, you'll see. So I quoted this to Rav Pesen Zatzal, and 2 or 3 years later, Rav Pesen had a question, how to understand the certain tshuva in Migros Moshe. So he told me that I should please ask Rav David Feinstein whether it's correct to understand what his father wrote like this or like that. He said, and then after he answers you, ask him for a source, and don't be surprised if he also tells me, when you get there. So, there are people that by then, it's like, you'll get there eventually, I'm not going to spend my time show you everything. So Rabbi Lazar came up with three. What were the three? Did I get there? I don't even remember what it was. I think it was a Mishnah in Zvachim, in which case I haven't yet gotten there. Am saper achal mitatan shetamidei chachamim. The three he came up with were, one, someone who speaks badly after the death of a sage. That's one person who courts would put him in nidui out of respect for the sage. Am zazel bin tilat yadayim, one who continually mocks the rabbinic institution of washing hands, he too would be put into nidui because he's mocking a rabbinic institution. And a person who speaks towards heaven in a way that's too proud, as though we're buddy-buddy. He speaks towards heaven in a manner that indicates that he feels very comfortable, as though to equals when he speaks to heaven. Those were the three examples he found in the Mishnah. What? Now the Gemara elaborates. I'm saper chal mitatan shetanidei chachamim mayhi. Oh, yafeh. That's where we're going to get to, right? Very good. Yafeh. That's exactly it, right? I'm saper chal mitatan shetanidei chachamim mayhi. What's the example of one who speaks after the death of the sages? Titnan. The Mishnah tells us in the in Eduyos. He used to say, when it comes to giving the sota waters, we don't give sota waters to a woman who's a giyores, nor to a woman who's a giyores because she's an ama ha'ivriya who became free. So these are two types of giyores. He derived from the verse that the whole parsha of sota, the sota waters are not applicable to these two types of giyores. Today, we don't have some. Okay, v'chachamim umim mashkin. And the rabbi said, you do give them to drink the sota waters. Amru lo, the rabbis said to him as a proof, ma'aseh b'chalkemit shifcha, this was a kavya ben ma'alala. Yeah. What was done in Beit HaMikdash? I don't know what was done in Beit HaMikdash. Maybe it was a machloket.
Did they disagree about what was done in Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah.
No one had a tradition about
it? Oh, so that's what they answered him. They did exactly what you're saying. They quoted him. Maaseh, it happened. Bechalkamit achat or shaita shivcham shuchoyot birushalayim. There was this giyores whose name was Charkemis. And she was a shivcha kananis that was freed, so she became a giyores. Vishkuya shmaya v'avtalion, and shmaya and avtalion, they gave her to drink the sota waters. Her husband did the kinoy, and then she was in private again with this man, and her husband was told with witnesses that she was again in private with the man, so he brought her up to the high courts, and the high courts gave her to drink the sota waters. V'amalu, so Akavya ben Malalal answered them, Dugma ishkua. They only gave her to drink waters that were like sota waters. They didn't give her to drink real sota waters. That's one answer. Another understanding here, so that's one answer, that there are different understandings as to what happened here, but he told them they didn't give her real waters. They wanted to scare her. They didn't really erase the Sefer Torah into the waters. They wanted to scare her into admitting that she had really been unfaithful to her husband, that she had committed adultery. So they made believe. They took out something, they put some paint in the water, they told her, now look, if you don't admit, you're going to drink these waters, and you know what these waters do. So if you were faithful, drink the waters. But if you really cheated on your husband, then it's a pity that the curses that are on the water should come on you, so you're better off admitting before you have to drink it. And when she saw the waters, then she got all scared. So he argued with the rabbis, and the rabbis felt that he went way too far in his argument. Vinidu, So the rabbis, they ostracized him. They put him in nidui. V'met v'niduyo. And he died and he never gave in because that's what he held. V'saklu betin tarono. And Bezdin sent, they put a stone on his coffin when he passed away. So that's one example of a situation where the rabbis made a nidui. So that's example number one. Hamzazel bin tilat yadayim mahi. What's example number two? One who continuously mocks the rabbinic institution of washing hands. Did not, because the next Mishnah over there says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, chas v'shalom she'akavya ben malalel nitnada. God forbid that Akavya would get nidui. That's not so. He disagrees with the previous Tana. The previous Mishnah we just read said that the rabbi said he went too far, they put him in nidui. And Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, no, that's not true. He didn't get nidui. Whenever they'd close the Azara gates, they would close the gates of the Azara three times during the period of a regal. Everyone would come up to bring the carbon, and the Azara would be packed, and they'd have to close the gates. So whenever they'd close the gates, there was no one inside, meaning there was no one among the Jewish people, who had wisdom and purity and fear of sin like Akavya ben Mahalalel. God forbid that the Beis Din should put him in nidui. So he disagreed with that tradition. That wasn't the end of the story, says Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah. He says you got the stories confused. I'll explain in a second. Yeah?
It's just an expression that the Azara doesn't close.
Right.
It's an expression to all the Jews now.
Right.
And how does it go along with the I don't know who that says that it was always enough. There was never more people than room in the Azara. They needed to lose ships.
What? Okay, even when you had those ships, if you think about it, you divide all the Jewish people. How many 100,000 people is that? Let's say 600,000. It's more, but let's say 600,000. Think about the area of... Okay, so three ships. It's still an ace. Okay. I hear. I don't know. Okay. So, the Rabbi Yehuda says, "Chas lechalila she'akav ben malalel nitnada." God forbid it was Akavya who got nidui. Elat mi nidu? Who did they give nidui to? Et Eliezer or Elazar ben Chanoch or ben Anadan. Different versions in the Mishnah who it was exactly. Shepikvek ben tilat yadayim. That he didn't take the rabbinic institution of washing hands seriously, so the rabbis put him in nidui. Uchshemet shalchu betin venichu evin tola al arono. And when he died, the court sent and they placed a big stone on his coffin. Lelamedcha to teach you shekol amitnadev. Whoever gets ostracization, who gets nidui, umet beniduyon, he passes away without repenting. He passes away with the nidui. Betin soklin et arono. The courts put a stone on his coffin. So what's the example of Hamegisdato Klape Mala? He who speaks towards heaven in a way that's too comfortable. Mahi, what is that? Did not. The Mishnah tells us the following. We just turned the page. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shatach lechoni ha-me'agel. Shimon ben Shatach, he was the Nasi. He was the brother-in-law of the king Yanai, that wicked king that murdered all the rabbis. So Shimon ben Shetach sent word to Choni ha-me'agel. Choni ha-me'agel, what did he do? The Jewish people came to him and said, we need rainwater desperately. There's no rain. So Choni learned from the Navi Habakkuk. He drew a circle in the sand, just like Habakkuk had drawn a circle. And he said, I'm not leaving the circle till you bring rain to your children. God made it rain. He said, no, not drizzling. They need better rain. Started pouring buckets. Choni said, no, that's rain of anger. That's rain that'll be destructive. I want rain that comes pleasantly, peacefully, and then started raining pleasantly and peacefully, just as he asked. So Shimon ben Shatach sent him word, Tzarich ata litnadot, you really have to take upon yourself nidui. V'ilmalei choni ata, and if you weren't the great choni, who you are, gozani alecha nidui, I would declare nidui on you. אבל מה אעשה? But what can I do? שאתה מתחתה לפני המקום, that you are sinning towards the omnipresent, you're really speaking to him in a fashion that's like a spoiled child. ועושה לך רצונך, and nonetheless he does what you want. כיוון שמתחתה לפני אביו, like a son who takes it lightly to make his father toil on his behalf, ועושה לו רצונו, and the father, what does he do? The father does what the son wants. ועליך כתוב אומר, and about you the verse says, ישמח אביך ואימך ותגל יולדתך. Your father and your mother will be happy, and the one who bore you will rejoice. That there is such a human being among us who could turn his eyes towards heaven and say, I don't want this type of rain, I don't want that type of rain, and every time God makes it rain the way you want, well, that's something amazing that the Jewish people have a person like you in their midst. So, Shimon ben Shatach indicated, Tochoni, tzarich ata li'tnadot. Really, you have to take upon yourself nidui. But I don't feel like I could put nidui upon you because you're choni. Look, God is willing to do what you wish, so I can't put you in nidui. But it's something you should do for yourself because you've acted improperly. So this is the third indication we have in the Mishnah where there's nidui out of respect. Here we see it's respect for heavens. And the other two examples was out of respect for the sages. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes a braisa like this. So that's basically the end of the sugiyah. The Gemara over there says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi derived medame milta leminta. He says this case is similar to that case. Just like over here the rabbi said he went too far, so too in other Mishnayot he said we would apply these concepts even though it doesn't say it overtly in the Mishnah. So really when Rabbi Elazar came up with three, Rabbi Elazar was right. There were three in the Mishnah. How did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi come up with 24 instances? He was medame milta lemilta. He said, this Mishnah is like that Mishnah, this Mishnah is like that Mishnah. Just like in this Mishnah he went too far, in that Mishnah he went too far. He took instances where it doesn't say overtly that someone was placed in nidui. Tanu Rabbanan, haoskim be'esfid. So the Mishnah now tells us about the concept of osek mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. We learn from the parsha of Shema, v'lechtecha v'derech, when you go on your own path, you have a mitzvah to say Shema. What about if you're on your way to doing a mitzvah? So we say a person who's en route to doing a mitzvah, he does not have to say Shema. And we have a machlokas in this, machlokas Rishonim. What about if it's not the end of the world, you could really manage to do both, it's just a little bit out of the way. So we say, so long as you're busy with one, you don't have to stop to do the other. If it's just a little bit cumbersome to do both, so then do both. But if it requires an effort, so we say if you're busy with one, you don't have to go tremendously out of your way to do the other. So long as it's not something that's pretty much on the way, you don't have to stop. And even if what you're busy with is a relatively simple mitzvah, we say, yeah, but now you're busy with that. So, Tanu Rabbanan, Hoskim Besped, people are busy with eulogizing the deceased. Bizman shamet mutan lifnehem nishmatim echad echad bekurin. If the corpse is lying there, so one by one they leave the hesped, and this way there's always a group around the deceased honoring the corpse, but one by one they each go out of the room to say Shema. Enamet mutan lifnehem, if it's a hesped, they gather everyone together when who passed away? There were instances that rabbis passed away and they made hespedim all over the country. So the deceased wasn't right there at that time. So then they pause the hesped. And even if they have a mourner present, hen yoshvin mekohin, the other people present, they sit down and read Shema. Vu yoshevet domim. And he, the mourner, he sits down and he's silent. Hem omdim umpalim, they stand up to say Shmoneh Esrei. And he stands up and he says before God, I know this is what you did to me, you're a fair God, and God, you're fair, and whatever you've done is fair. What he says is, Ribon Olamim, Master of the Worlds, I've sinned plenty before you, and you haven't even paid me back 1/1000th of what I owe. Yiratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu, may it be the will before you, Hashem our God, shetigdol piltzoteinu, that you'll fix up the breaches in our fence, ufiltzot kol amcha beit Yisrael brachamim, and the breaches of the nation of Israel, the house of Israel, with mercy. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, lo mebay leleinish lemei marachi, a person doesn't have to say that. You know, you haven't yet paid me back for a thousandth of what I deserved. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish v'chentana mishmed Rabbi Yossi, for Rav Shimon ben Lakish to it, and this is what the Mishnah says in the name Rabbi Yossi, lo'olam al yiftach adam piv la'satan, a person should never open his mouth towards the Satan saying, you know, God hasn't hurt me enough. Don't say that. Amar Rav Yosef meikrash, ne'emar kimat kistom einu, ma'ahadu le'navi, shimud v'ashem k'tinei Sodom. The prophet says, we've almost been like Sodom. We've almost been like Sodom, and the next pasuk says, okay, listen here, you officers of Sodom. So it indicates, because we said we've almost been like Sodom, that's why the next pasuk says, you have been like Sodom. So that's why Abai says, don't say, you haven't yet paid me back 1,000th of what I deserve. So what do we see today? We saw that a person is not supposed to speak after the deceased. If one speaks after a sage that's deceased, so then even if it's peace for the rest of Israel, he will get punished. We said if a person sees a rabbi that sinned by night, he should judge him favorably. He shouldn't think about it by day. We assume he did tshuva, provided it's not a monetary issue. And then we brought 24 examples of where the rabbis placed nidui out of respect for a rabbi, because of the story of Shmaya and Avtalion, the story of the Akavya ben Maalalel, and the story of Elazar ben Achanoch Netil Sedaim, and the story of Choni HaMe'agel. And we concluded with a situation where people are busy with their hesped, that they should say Shema one by one. Unless the deceased isn't present, they all say Shema, while the person who's mourning is Matzdik at the Din. He says, God, what you've done to me is fair.